2 weeks ago, I was on a bus tour with New Jersey Builders Association. They were doing their annual convention at Golden Nugget. And a year ago, you couldn't book that trip. You couldn't even have that on offer. So this year,
you couldn't fill that trip.
You couldn't even do it. Because no one cared.
I don't think they even offered the trip.
They didn't offer it. No one cared. Why do you want to ride around Lake City? Nothing's going on.
From the press of Atlantic City Newsroom, this is the Atlantic City Story Podcast, where we talk about the big stories that are shaping the city's future. I'm Buzz Keough.
I'm Christian Hetrick.
And I'm Nicholas Huba.
Today we're talking about Atlantic City introduced its budget. And this is good news because
The taxes went down. The tax rate went down for the first time in a decade.
And they actually have a budget that looks like a budget compared to the previous couple of years where it was just a kind of a bill in a way.
Right. This is what we spent last year.
Well, I don't understand that part because I have seen the past budgets. Maybe they haven't been filled out completely. They still look like budgets, and there was still a lot of money that had to come out of them.
It was literally filled with crap. Literally.
You're talking CRAP about the acronym. For the yes. state aid. But so my point about it being like a bill at the end of the year, last year they did this in November. They didn't adopt the budget until November. And so by then, it's not a budget for the year ahead. This is what we spent this year.
So the accounting principles have been loose in the last couple of years. And this is not a joke that really, when you look at how widely some of the numbers change from year to year, they are throwing things in here. They're pulling magic out of different boxes and revenue. And it's starting to look, as you said, like a budget. But how did they get the tax rate to go down 11 cents this year, Christian?
It went down the budget went down $35 million from the year before, from about 242 to 206. The big line items, public safety is down $8 million. That's part of those controversial union contract changes that the state is implementing. Administration costs, $5 million. Debt service, $6 million less. And then savings in other areas as well with trash pickup and other services like that. It amounts to $35 million less, and because of that, they're able to lower the tax rate for the first time since they did the revaluation in 2008 that lowered people's tax rates at the time, but is maybe responsible for some of the larger tax appeals that came later.
So great, we're out of the woods if we live in Atlantic City, is that right?
Kind of. Part of doing this budget meant giving less casino pilot tax money to Atlantic County. And so while it's at 11 cents less on the municipal side, County Executive Dennis Levin is saying, well, hold the phone. Your county rate is about to go through the roof because they were banking on getting 13.5% of the pilot money. The state is only going to give them 10%.
But does it have to go through the roof?
It depends if they want to cut the budget, I guess, right?
Oh, you can cut the budget. Okay, just making sure. The city basically, in 2014, Atlantic City had 1,255 employees. Now they're down to 847. They've cut people. That's part of the reason they've gotten this low on the budget. So Denny's upset that they're not getting what they want. But they can address that by cutting places, picking some things up, maybe, oh my God, laying off people. I know a couple years ago they did the furloughs. But furloughs really don't address anything. They just address a dollar amount, and a small dollar amount. Not health care, not pension, those kind of
no
big
benefits, tick,
no
yeah.
benefits and things like that. So Chris Christie a couple years ago said when the whole like market cratered that basically we all have to share in these sacrifices. And it seems to me like I understand why Denny's upset about this, but maybe it's time the county kind of looks back and goes, we can cut here, we can cut there.
I think the county executive's issue is that he had a promise, not just from Mayor Don Guardian, who signed a document saying, yes, we'll give you 13.5, but then Chris Christie comes to town last summer and says in a press conference in front of cameras, reporters, says, yeah, you're going to get the 13.5. So I think that is the where perhaps the anger comes from. It feels like a betrayal, but to your point, of course, you don't have to raise taxes. You can reduce spending.
So wait, the governor said something that wasn't true? I'm just making sure. I want to just make sure I get
the governor you just quoted.
The governor I just quoted. Okay, so he goes to a press conference. He says yes. He changes his mind. Wait, public employees should know this thing very well.
Well, actually, you know, it's even reminiscent, even more local and perhaps more better comparison. We talked about the crap before, right? Well, that was state aid that the state put in the city's budget. They took it away, created that cash crisis where the city almost shut down. And so here's the situation again. Here's casino pilot money that they told the county they were going to get. Just kidding. And now you have a hole in the county budget.
Bonus question. What does CRAP stand for?
The Casino Reinvestment Anticipated Payment. I don't know if I have the R right, but it sounds about right.
Yeah. No one's going to fight you on it. Yeah. No, I just, you know, for the last couple of days, he's been really upset about the whole issue, but he can address it. And, you know, and not put the burden on people like myself who live in Mays Landing to make up for that difference. He can kind of roll it back a little bit.
Well, did Christie say the 13.5% is yours, or did he say the 13.5% is yours if you take on new responsibilities?
You know what? My recollection is he said it was there. And actually, what was interesting about that press conference, too, later on it became clear that, yes, you were going to get the 13.5 if you help us. But Christie said something else interesting that day, which was that I'm not going to force anything upon the county. So, I mean, it was pretty clear that the county was going to get this 13.5. But what I will say, and this is to Nick's point, I've been hearing for a while on background, off the record, what have you, that they were not going to get this 13.5%. So if I'm hearing that as a reporter, I'm sure the writing has been on the wall for a long time. And instead, I think he just kind of held out for getting this percentage.
So you're saying he could have prepared for this moment?
Perhaps, yes.
Okay, I'm just making sure I didn't hear that correctly.
Maybe that was the preparation, the press, the outrage that you heard the last couple of days.
But how would you, as a county executive, if you look at the legislation, it's not listed in the legislation, I don't remember, correct?
It's not in the legislation, no.
So why
not.
Would you believe from a statutory situation that you're entitled to that money?
Because he said it in front of like five cameras.
Get it in writing.
That is my legal tip of the day. Get everything in writing, please.
Well, you know, Atlantic County has not introduced a budget. They do have options, but now we have to see what they're going to do, we'll find out now whether they have a contingency plan or we're working on one. Because if not, you're going to see anywhere from a 5 to a 10%, 10 cent
And it would be terribly ironic, of course, if it were to erase the savings made in the municipal budget if you're in Atlantic City.
You could absolutely do that in Atlantic City, but for everybody else, you could see higher taxes.
It'll hurt the people like the bedroom communities, like Egg Harbor Township, Mays Landing, those areas that have really taken a hit like from property values because of the whole casino boom and people foreclosing on the house. If they give them another whack over the head, so might be paying more in county taxes next
what,
year.
Take away the savings part. What about the revenue? Not all this revenue is stable revenue. So when I asked earlier, is the city out of it? You said yes. I'm not sure they are.
No, I mean, not out of it. I mean, they still collect less in taxes year after year. So they haven't solved that issue. What they were able to accomplish this time around is to cut spending enough that they didn't need as much tax revenue or state aid to balance the budget. But yeah, to your point, you know, the casinos are locked in a pilot now. They're going to pay what they're going to pay for the next decade. And the tax base, you know, is not what it was. And so until they figure that out, you're right. They're going to either have to continue to dramatically cut spending or find money elsewhere.
I think one of the issues they have to figure out is how they're going to grow the bottom of this tax base. We always look at the top of the tax base with the casinos, but bringing those bottom rung properties up and bringing the value of those up, I think is the biggest issue. You know, you talk about a place that hasn't had new housing that's market value in such a long time. And you look around and maybe they start to get that over the next couple of years with these kind of
development.
Barai's the first, I think it was in a decade. I think that's what Guardian said. Yeah. So boy, if you bring those bottom properties up, you increase the value of the city exponentially.
I have to ask one other thing. If the pilot is so locked in and gives the city an outlook for expenses, why did they put in $16 million for tax appeals this year, which is $14 million more than they had last year?
Well, they still get lots of residential tax appeals, hundreds, if not maybe thousands, a couple thousand. I mean, they get a lot. But, you know, at the Hard Rock announcement, Senator Chiesa, the state overseer, Mayor Guardian, confirmed that Carl Icahn is attempting to appeal his taxes for the Taj Mahal when he owned it. He doesn't own it anymore, obviously, but he also still owns the Plaza. He still owns Tropicana. And even though the pilot's in place from, I guess, 17 forward, he can still appeal for 16, 15, 14. He can go back in time, similar to what Borgata did.
So how are they going to pay for this tax? How does this budget include the Borgata? debt?
It does not. They're not going to start paying debt service until 2018. But what they did do for the Borgata was they did set aside $2.5 million, perhaps of that $16 million pie you're referring to. They set aside that as sort of like a down payment.
So obviously they're still anticipating some pushback.
It seems like Carl Icahn, the revenge of Carl Icahn may be coming.
It's a gift that keeps on giving in a lot of ways.
How many times are you going to use that quote?
I'm going to use it every
time. Chris Christie say that?
We all know how I feel about the governor. He came to my aid today with a great quote. So what do you want me to say?
But to your point, Nick, you were talking about you got to grow the city from the ground up. What about this? Are we starting to see that? Are we starting to see development at a lower level, not just Barai, because that's heavily funded by Creed? It will help. It will bring people into the city as tenants and residents.
I think there's an interest in the city from outside developers now. 2 weeks ago, I was on a bus tour with New Jersey Builders Association. They were doing their annual convention at Golden Nugget. And a year ago, you couldn't book that trip. You couldn't even have that on offer. So this year,
you couldn't fill that trip.
You couldn't even do it. Because no one cared.
I don't think they even offered the trip.
They didn't offer it. No one cared. Why do you want to ride around Atlantic City? Nothing's going on. So this year, they start and they decide to offer it, and they start with a jitney. They fill that right up right away, and then they move on to this big, like, coach bus. And they took it around. And if you actually listen to the people there, they're so bullish on Atlantic City. Because the property is dirt cheap. And where else do you get those kind of prices at that location?
Funny you should mention that, because Christian, myself, John DeRosier, and the editorial board took a trip this past week, and Liz Terenick was officiating or narrating it. And
she
was our tour guide, and she showed us projects a lot that we've been writing about. Christian may have seen them. I haven't seen them all, but there does seem to be like a groundswell of development and opportunities that are starting to kind of come together all at about the same time. Wouldn't you agree?
Seemingly every place you went to had cranes in the air or hard hats and things like that. I mean, that was like the one thing I'd noticed from the Baltic Avenue Canal all the way to the Steel Pier. It seemed like everywhere we went, there was work being done, which is a big difference from things being planned, proposed, renderings. City of renderings, right. There was, as the cliche goes, shovels in the ground.
And it was a wide range. There was, you know, the whiskey distillery, Little Water.
Yep.
You know, that's a little place tucked in the corner in the inlet. But, you know, I think we saw also video where 400 people were there for.
It's very popular.
People are finding it, you know, and some of the other projects, the smaller ones, the firehouse that's going to turn into, I think, an innovation lab with the help of one of the developers, Mark Collazo, who's also involved on Tennessee Avenue, which is supposed to be opening, you know, this June.
Pop up, right. Yep. Projects big and small, and I think that was we obviously cover like the really big ones, but there's stuff too, like the parks, right? Browns Park is something that isn't going to make the city any money, but it at least like it's almost like an infrastructure thing. You have to have some of these things to you know make people want to move into the city and live here.
And Liz has had a lot to do with that, you know. And I think people in the business community see
Elizabeth Terenick, right?
Sorry. And I think people view her as a conduit to the city, and she's been a really successful ambassador for the city over her years,
And she's going to be leaving, and so that's obviously a big loss, actually. I talked to a few people not in City Hall, but people outside City Hall deal with her, and words like heartbreaking, huge loss, you know, were used to describe not having her because, she was a go-to person, I think, for a lot of business people in the city.
I think as far as planners go, she's very outgoing. She seemed to connect with a lot of the people on the tour, from the guys wearing the hard hats to...
Everyone knew who she was everywhere we went. Yeah, people stopped by to talk to her, yeah.
I think she got the idea of what she needed to do from the start. She became a salesman for the city in a lot of ways, going out, helping these people, doing what she can, even on her off time. You know, and she returns phone calls whenever. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a key part of it, keeping, you know, selling the city. And it's hard to sell that city where it was 2 years ago.
And I think kind of going like the extra mile too. I spoke with Mark Gantner from the distillery today, and he told me a story how she like unrolled the entire city map when they were looking for a location and like went like zone by zone. And I mean, like, that's something that, like, you know, the planning and development director of the city to you know, I mean, she doesn't have to do that. And she chose to get that place open.
And the noontime talks, which, you know, we might have been slow to realize the the value in them. But once we did, we started live streaming them. And you, what you saw there was a great way to connect people to projects, connect ideas to action, and get things done at a grassroots level.
And there's usually a good mixture of people in there, like developers. You'll have some developer. You have some normal citizens kind of just popping in for a little bit and seeing what's going on, which I think that's one of her strongest suits. She's been able to connect those two groups. Usually you have developers isolated and the city isolated, the residents. Now she's been able to move those together. So I think that's what her biggest thing has been.
Final takeaways?
I don't know if Denny from Linwood will be calling me later or what.
You're on the air. All right. This podcast is produced every week, and it's available 6 a.m. Saturday, but you can listen to it anytime by going to pressofac.com/podcast. Thanks for listening.